Hi, welcome to our IDS Talks podcast, Transatlantic Tea Time, special edition, because Dan, that does not look like your backyard, my friend.
No, I'm actually roughing it here in Florence, Italy. I apparently drew the shorter straw at work last week and was forced to fly over here in the middle of some busy work back in London.
Yeah, okay, so I'm going to ask, what on earth is it that got you, brought you, I should say, to beautiful Florence?
Yeah, well, one, you don't ever really need a reason to come to Italy or Florence in particular, but for the last 5 years, minus last year for obvious reasons, I've been joining the IBA annual competition conference, which is one of the more fun events that we do over the course of the year. It's a very sophisticated conference in terms of topics with an incredible cast of panelists and contributors. And every year that I've been coming, you know, I always walk away with new friends and a fountain of brand new knowledge to take home and utilize in the practice work that we do. And in particular, this year was quite exciting because we as IDS sponsored the event, which was the first time I've joined as a sponsor, and it brought a whole new dynamic to it. And again, you know, as years passed, it really shined and enjoyed myself immensely.
And learned a lot. It's an extremely valuable business opportunity. You're not just eating gelato and Florentine steak, which we'll get to that, but... You know, I guess it does bear mentioning that one of our friends is not with us today. Mr. LaTulip, unfortunately, had some technical issues. I think it may be his form of protest, Dan. I think that one who's stuck back in London, and you're the one, you know, attending a conference and spending a Saturday on the... well, I know where you're standing, but why don't you go ahead and tell our listeners or viewers where you're standing?
Yeah, I'm just standing across from the skyline of Florence over there, and it's just a wonderful view. You probably can't see it, you know, as well in the distance, but it has one of the greatest panoramics in the city with, you know, everything from the Ponte Vecchio to the Duomo and all the wonderful architecture that you just are in awe of when you walk the streets of Florence. So, you know, it's one of those places where, you know, you almost walk into buildings because you're always looking up and around, but never in front of you. It's a living museum for all intents and purposes.
Yeah, I have been there once and I will definitely go back to Florence again. The family took a trip. And it was the middle stop on our journey. And I think that they would have been more than willing to trade some extra days in Florence to spend fewer days in Rome. Just felt like it was obligatory. If you're taking your family to Italy and they may never go again, how can you not go to Rome? But in terms of a favorite city, Florence, definitely right up there. Let me ask you about the conference.
Top five for me.
Yeah. So the conference, what would be your biggest takeaway that you had from the conference?
Well, again, one of the most interesting aspects of it is it gets such a high quality of individuals who join as panelists and speakers, and this year was no different. And you know, one panel in particular, there was a group of regulators who really started to speak at length about you know, what they foresaw coming over the coming months and years and the area of competition and antitrust in Europe. And really getting that level of insight is something you just don't get every day. And then to be able to speak with them, I actually found myself in a conversation last night over drinks. And I was sitting with the head of competition Belgium, along with the head of competition for the Spanish authority and the head of competition for the French authority. And if anyone knows me, I'm very rarely at a loss for words. I'm usually an avid contributor in any discussion and really sort of value the back and forth. But there are times where you get put amongst such impressive individuals talking about things that are well beyond, you know, not comprehension, but things that I've necessarily thought about. And you just take a deep breath and step back and just stand in awe a little bit because of what you're experiencing and the knowledge that you're getting. And I had one of those moments last night. It was just very, very, you know, educational in many ways.
So some people are speechless when they meet actors,
yeah,
athletes. For you, it's government regulators. That is, it's pretty special.
It is. It only happened once before in my life. I was around a campfire with some friends. They were Yale students, and I was sitting around a campfire with Yale physicists contemplating the reality of time travel. And needless to say, again, nothing for me to add to that conversation.
Yeah, well, that's a little different. That's when they're, yeah, you know, a couple of levels above. Okay, so I see you're having a nice drink with a straw, so I'm going to guess you're not having tea for our transatlantic tea time. What are we drinking?
Nope, it's mid-afternoon, so it requires what the Italians usually drink as a wind me down at the end of the day, which is Aperol Spritz. So very similar to sangria in Spain, or a Pimm's cup in England, or gin and tonic. It's a summer cocktail that is well imbibed during very hot days in the sun.
While we're talking about beverages, you mentioned the summertime and the gin and tonic, which I know is a personal favorite of yours, correct? So we're entering the fall. We're entering the fall. What time does the G&T get switched out for something like a warm ginger?
It depends on the temperature outside, really. I mean, you're looking at October, November. You have the time switch, the drink switch from light to dark. But you know, you never know until you sidle up to the bar and see what hits you.
Got it. All right. So that's good. And then just a couple more minutes, because I want to let you enjoy every opportunity while you're there in Florence. We're coming into, you know, we've just now, at least here in the States, had Labor Day, our traditional end of summer, although it's going to be 80 odd degrees here this weekend. So for you guys over in Europe, particularly part of our team in London, as we enter the fall, what are you looking forward to in this latter part of 2021?
Yeah, I mean, at least from a UK perspective, the vaccine rollout has been extremely well rolled out, and the uptake in terms of the people has been quite high, and our vaccination rates are in a good spot. So we're sitting in a very good place. Knock on wood. You're not out of the storm yet, but there's certainly light at the end of the tunnel. People are still being smart and careful and wearing masks and keeping their distance, but we have no social distancing rules anymore. And I think with that, there's this heightened sense of community that I haven't seen before in the UK. And people want to get out together and meet with each other and really, spend time as individuals rather than locked in the basements. And even personally, I mean, Tim and I, we work very closely together. And for the last 18 months, although we're in contact every single day and on meetings and Zooms every single day, we've been quite separated. And some of our best work happens spontaneously over collaboration. And that requires you to be together and in the same room. So I'm looking forward to being in the office more. I plan on going up. I live just outside of London, as you know. So I plan on being in the office at least twice a week and really help foster that collaborative approach that I think is so important to the way we work, to helping us think outside of the box and to really service our clients in a way that's not just flexible, but entrepreneurial and very new in sort of thinking outside of the box on some of the projects that we work on.
Yeah, no, that sounds great. And I guess as a little teaser, perhaps, to one of the topics we'll discuss on our next Transatlantic Tea Time, you referenced offices and our office. So for those who can't wait, I'm sorry, you'll have to wait till our next transatlantic tea time to hear more about it. But we are very excited here at IDS about offices in London.
We'll leave it at that. And it's also, I mean, just another point to make about, you know, being here and sort of having boots on the ground in Italy and on the continent. I mean, when Tim and I joined IDS and we started to talk to you and Dan Rigard and everyone at IDS about how to deploy in Europe and what our vision and roadmap was for moving forward here, we always spoke in sort of continental terms. It was never about the UK. It was always about Europe and really servicing clients across the entire European geography. And, you know, to finally be off the island and with boots on the ground, it really is a showcase of a step in the right direction. And it brought a little bit of a tear to my eye because, again, IDS LTD is a European entity, one that really focuses in on complex matters that cross borders, and really be able to get in front of and reintroduce and make new contacts with that approach in mind has been quite special.
Yeah, well, I know I've had a great year and almost 6 months with you guys. I've already made my pitch to be able to get there with you and hopefully Tim next year. Although based on your beverage and your view, I think that there are going to be some others here at IDS US that want to make the trip over there. But well, listen, I'm glad you enjoyed the conference. I can't wait to hear more about it. I'm excited about us being able to participate not just next year and beyond. I know that the IBA competition conference is one that is very important to you, has been for years, and will continue to be for you and the organization. Where are we having dinner tonight, and what are we eating for dinner? I'm super jealous, so I've got to close with finding out about that.
Yeah, well, it has to be Steak Florentina, and the name of the restaurant, I believe, is Cayenneria. But it is no small feat. It requires a strong heart and an empty stomach to get through it. You know, I found a wingman to join me just because you can't tackle this alone. But I will do my best.
and last question from me. How many times have we had gelato since you've been there?
I mean, it's mandatory after every meal, right? Isn't that the rule?
It's what I believe, along with if you were one of my kids, they would tell you that a shot of limoncello might be as well. But definitely, yeah. Definitely.
I mean, all I know is I've been here 2 days and I've had to take it up a notch on my belt. So it's not easy.
Yeah. Well, once again, thanks for taking time out of your day. It's actually a Saturday there it's Saturday here for me too. But really appreciated it. Super jealous. And you know that when we talk next week, just, you know, us, we won't be on our podcast, but I will have to ask about this wonderful dinner you're about to have. So enjoy.
I'll take some photos, cheers. Don't worry.
Yeah, I'm sure there'll be some text sent today. Appreciate it, Dan. Appreciate everyone who's either listening to this podcast on their podcast delivery system. Don't know the probably better way to say it. Wherever you get your podcasts from, or if you're watching this on our YouTube channel, feel free to subscribe. Please subscribe. I know that Dan and I, and we'll speak on behalf of Tim, all enjoy our transatlantic tea times, and I look forward to our next one. Take care, Dan.
Cheers, everyone.